Dennis, I've just got back from the airport. Well, I said just. In a cosmic sense, it only happened, you know, a blink of an eye ago. But
was it this morning?
This morning. Yeah, sure. This morning.
We'll take it.
For you, I mean, maybe I haven't even gone yet, Irish time.
Probably not,
Dropped mum off at the airport. She came and visited for the first half this week, bit of the weekend. Ooh, as well. Lovely
stokes,
to have her up.
Stoke some content flames by having your mum over, it seems.
Well, that was the only reason. She's like, I'm thinking of coming out to visit. I'm like, absolutely, because surely, I mean, you know, Dennis, you got 4 weeks of content out of one trip to America, so I can at least get 1 or 2 weeks out of mum coming up and visiting. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if I can tease some more content out of next week. But for this week, at least, a deep vein of content to be mined out here from mum's visit. Obviously, I had to clean and tidy the house up. I had to away all the manscaped products and packaging that had been littered across the bathroom as I worked
you were just so excited to get into those amazing Manscaped goods, coupon code HALTT, that you just left the packaging lying around.
That's it. I actually did keep. Can I tell you something true?
It's a nice box.
It's a nice box. You never know when a box is going to come in handy. I did contribute to the worldwide cardboard shortage by holding onto this box because it's a nice box. Anyway, we'll talk about that later on. We've got a great Manscaped ad coming up. And I know the feedback we've been getting, Dennis, people can't get enough of it. I think they would prefer just Manscaped ads and less us talking about other things.
The Manscaped podcast. Maybe we should email the folks, the fine folks, about that.
I'll tell you what, we'll have to negotiate a bit more of an aggressive rate if they're going to take over 90% of the podcast.
That's fair enough. Yeah, the 10% ad is for just me and you talking shit. That's the...
Yeah. Anyway, we went and picked her up from the airport, brought her home. It was great to see her. Obviously, you know, she's down in Victoria. I'm up here in Queensland. We don't get to see each other. We chat a bit on the phone, that sort of stuff, but don't get to see each other all that long. It's just lovely to spend time with your mum. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Did all sorts of stuff. Went at the Yamundi markets. That was really nice. Went to Mulaney Bird World, which was...
Mulaney Bird World. Is this a bird sanctuary or some sort of delicious restaurant?
Yeah. You don't get to eat the birds, no. Although I've been told that macaw tastes exceptionally succulent.
Exquisite, anyway. Yeah.
So we went out. It's a botanic gardens and bird world, and it costs $40. And can I tell you, Dennis, it would not be worth it at half. Actually, no, at $20 it would be fine, I think. But it was not worth it, right? It was fine. There were these great big aviaries and had all sorts of fancy birds, parrots and stuff like that. And then you'd go through. But it was a guided tour that lasted about 45 minutes, right? And it was cool. Like the birds would come down, fly on you, land on your head and your shoulders and that sort of stuff. It was cool. Mm-hmm. But like botanic garden, even gardens is a bit of a stretch, right?
Like, was just some birds in a field?
There was just a big pile of dirt. Like a massive pile of dirt, like a construction-sized pile of dirt in the middle of the botanic gardens. I'm like, all right, I understand it's winter, but like, what are you growing in a pile of dirt? I don't know.
Birds, anyway. Apparently.
Yeah, apparently that's where they plant the eggs.
That's what bird seed is.
What? Just piles of dirt?
No, you plant bird seed and birds grow from it.
Oh, sure. That's where they plant the bird seed and they harvest the rich crop of birds, put them in the aviary.
Well, Nikki keeps being like, I want to buy bird seed. I'm like, you can't keep buying bird seed. We're going to feed, how are we going to feed all the birds that grow out of it? What are we going to feed them?
Once they grow out of the enormous plot, you know, the plot of land that you've got there, Dennis, what are you going to feed them? But no, that's what I wanted to talk about. I did have a great time with mum, but I ran into an issue with her that I want to get your take on, Dennis.
Okay.
I want to explore and see if you've got any similar experience with your parents. As a young man, I grew up with a great love of video games, right? And it started when my uncle bought me a Game Boy, much to the disapproval of my mum and dad. But I loved it. Tetris.
Well, your mum is a little bit how do I phrase this? Crazy.
Well, that's one way to put it, certainly.
No, your mum is a little bit X-rays from the TV will turn your eyes square, right?
She certainly was much worse than she is now. And that's what comes into this story, right? Because I grew up with, you know, my Game Boy being taken off me during school time. Couldn't play it during school. Sometimes only school holidays, right?
Well, she was from like the rot your brain school of thinking, right?
Definitely. And and dad was very much the go outside and kick a ball type of father rather than the come inside and sit here and play Halo with me type of dad. Well, yeah, it's fine, whatever. It's not a knock on them. It's just the sort of parents they were. Mum's definitely chilled out with this sort of stuff a fair bit in her older years. Case in point, she cannot get enough of these garbage predatory mobile games, Dennis.
They're like Skinner box dopamine slot machines.
Well, so there's two that she loves. Right?
I want to hear the names. Yeah.
One's called Gardenscapes, right, which is a, it's a Match 3 Bejeweled clone with this infuriating bald guy. I don't know why they've chosen as the mascot for this. I mean, as a bloke who's losing his hair, I don't know why they've chosen.
He's got the kind of mustache he used to have as well.
It's like he's got one of the most punchable faces I've ever seen, right? Okay, and that's the Gardenscapes. I don't like Gardenscapes, awful game. But the other one is Harvest Solitaire or Harvest Time Solitaire or something like that. And it's just like a Mahjong Solitaire type game where you match cards and stuff.
Solitaire Grand Harvest.
Grand Harvest, that's it. But it asks you for so much money at every point, right? And I'm sure algorithmically the game is designed to make sure that you lose with only one or two cards left on the field. So it's like, oh, if you just buy this upgrade, if you just get five more cards or one wild card, which costs $6.
Excuse me?
Then you can beat this level. Oh, it's unbelievable. It's not the sort of thing that's like, oh, chuck us 20 cents and I'll give. It's like buy a pack of wild cards or whatever, five extra cards for your deck or something, right, for $5 or six. Now, the power-ups, it's obscene.
Does your mother engage in the microtransactions?
Well, this is what we're going to come to, right?
Oh,
but the
no.
mechanics of this game, like it's this. So when you're playing it, even if with a 100% win rate, you can't keep playing forever.
Of course
you
not.
Can't. Right? So if you put up, it's like, say, 13,000 coins to play a game. If you win, you get 16,000. So it's, you can't play infinitely. You have to keep logging in and every hour, mum would be like, oh, hang on, get a tablet out and shoot.
Gardenscapes doesn't look like a match to the game. It looks like you build a little garden and grow things in it.
Yeah, but the way maybe it's the Gardenscapes franchise. I don't know, but you unlock things for your garden by playing the match.
Okay, I understand.
Right? Anyway, so
this game looks like
every
fun.
Time we
I'm,
play,
looking
like,
at, I'm looking at clips. It looks like fun.
Well, I started playing them with her to make fun of her and make fun of her playing them, right?
Of course. You need to know the material if you're gonna tear it out about it, I understand.
That's right. But the funny thing is, I think she thought that I was really enjoying it because I would be like, oh, let's play. And I'd laugh at her and whatever else like that. But I think she was like, oh, look, I know you're going to download it. You're going to be playing it by the end of the week. I was like, no, Mum, I hate this. You don't understand. Like, this is, I'm satirizing your enjoyment of this. You don't seem to understand that, right? But I did start, I tell you what, with that Grand Harvest, oh, it's so annoying. There are levels there where a frog comes out and jumps and sits on the cards, and you can't move the frog off the card to get rid of it until you find a lily pad for him to jump onto. And there's ones where, like, the pig comes out and eats all the coins, and you have to pay to unlock, you pay real money to unlock the coins that the pig ate, right? And then there's a cat that, like, collects cards, and you got to give him more cards. All this entire suite of animals, very, very demanding. And the squirrel. Don't get me started on the squirrel, Dennis, because it hides its nuts amongst all the cards. You have to dig out the nuts, give the squirrel, and then I've had enough of it. Anyway.
Your mum must have been loving these conversations, surely.
Very frustrating.
Like, you're sitting on the couch, and you're like, I got squirrel again. And she's like, oh, it happens to the best of us. Like, is that what happened?
Exactly. Yeah, well, that's it. I was like, these bloody bastard squirrels come out. She's like, oh, well, just, you know.
It looks like there's a cat with these three top hats that does a sort of shell game with you.
Yeah, it's full of all that nonsense, right? So that was very frustrating for me, right? As someone who enjoys good video games, it was very frustrating seeing how much she loved this garbage game. But more broadly, Dennis, this is where I want to bring you in, because I spent my entire childhood and adolescence effectively being told to stop playing those damned video games by my mum and my dad, right? And my dad has stayed true. My dad is a very strange old man, but he has not changed his tune when it comes to video games, right?
He'll take that opinion. His gravestone will read, go outside, for Christ's sake.
Having said that, I did help him install a 3080 that he bought because he needed it for his... like a graphics card, because
to run like CAD on it or whatever.
He's very, very high level architectural software, right?
So sure.
I felt a bit of, I'll talk about that in another episode. I felt a surge of triumph when I was able to do something that Dad couldn't do that did involve using tools, even though they were very small miniaturized tools.
To him, that's tantamount to calling a wizard to his home, right?
But a wizard who comes in and like fixes your sink. Right?
Yeah,
because
that's true.
Like, Dad, as a bloke with the rough, pitted hands of the working man, he should be able to do that. I was working with screwdrivers, right? And he looked at that and he's like, oh, it's very annoying that I can't do this, you know? Anyway, what I found and still find very frustrating, right, is the fact that Mum is here now playing these games, loving them, realizing that the world of gaming has so much to offer you, just as a recreational pursuit or something, as something to occupy your mind and your time. And this is after a decade and a half of being told by her to get off those damn video games. And it's a very bitter pill to swallow, Dennis, at the age of 33.
It's not just that. I think the kind of games she's playing now, I think are the kind of games she was afraid you were playing. Mindless, like, dopamine slot machines that are designed. Mm. I'm sure, and it wasn't really the case at the time. This is even pre-horse armor days. But that are designed explicitly to nickel and dime you at every possible turn.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was the one thing. The other thing was obviously violence in video games. She hated anything that had guns or shooting, which is fair enough. I mean,
I got banned.
More legitimate zone to have a concern with video games. But
so this is interesting. Interesting aside here, because my parents were my parents were not anti video games in the same sense. They thought video games could be educational. I think I mentioned before one time my dad bought me like a Mensa code breaking video game, which was way too hard for like 9 year old Dennis to get him to take me back to.
Yeah, solve these quadratic functions, Dennis. Go and get your mind in shape. Let's go.
So we had to take him back to the shop and had to return it and get Animaniacs Paintball instead. I think my father was very disappointed in me. But my parents, considering they're from, you know, they lived through a war, didn't really mind me playing shooting games, which is surprising to me. My dad would even like very occasionally like watch me or pick up and play some Call of Duty. Just like didn't
engage. And then you put Hitman in, he's like, no, this is too close to home.
Too real. You don't need this many tools. No. why bring gun? He have suitcase. So he would... You know what they did ban me from playing? Which is a much more...
Waste of pocket space bringing fiber wire. Just find piano.
Just find piano. They did ban me from playing wrestling video games, Riley.
Oh, you've told me this story, but let's go. Let's get across it. This is a cracker of a story. I'm just going to tell the listeners, strap yourselves in, because if you haven't heard the Dennis wrestling story before, oh baby, you're in for a treat here. Let's go.
So my parents obviously didn't think it was particularly likely, living in Ireland, that I was going to be able to get my hands on an assault rifle and go out and fight some people fight some Germans in the Ardennes, right?
Yeah. So you're playing Medal of Honor, and they're like,
exactly.
Oh, this isn't an on ramp for Dennis. Yeah.
No. But a video game where you have fun pretending to body slam and throw your friends about, that's a little more attainable. So what did happen was one time I was hanging with a friend of mine. I think it was Luke. Now, this isn't the Luke you met. It's the Luke I knew as a kid from primary school. Mm-hmm. And there was a room in our house that had two beds, a set of twin beds beside each other. And I jumped off of one. Maybe I jumped off a chair. Anyway, I jumped off of an elevated surface. Onto him to body slam him, as one does as a wrestling finishing move.
You're just feeding him the people's belly.
And I snapped the side of the bed frame, not really meant to support two people at high impact.
Yeah.
And it really did clean break in half. And my mom was...
You've got a very bad history with bed frames, because you broke that bed frame that you... I mean, you...
On holidays, the first framing I...
You go back and listen to, I think it's episode 6 or 7, where Dennis framed his mate Petter for breaking a bed frame as well. So you've got a history with these things.
That's true. But no, I shattered the bed frame. Not shattered. I snapped the bed frame. And my mom wasn't worried that, you know, I'd broken something. She wasn't worried that I'd hit my head. Mm. She was worried, and I think there's a physics lesson in this. She was worried that I would break the bed in such a way that a plank for the bed would jut up and impale me.
Ah, yes. Because now, that would really require some very interesting bending of the laws of physics.
And cause and effect as well, because the bed would have to break it, then I'd have to jump onto the broken bed.
Yes, without realizing that it was broken and had, you know, a rebar.
I had to break the bed up from below and then jump on. Anyway, she had read a story, and she was upset about this because she had read a story about a kid who had been playing with a football, and the football had bounced under a bed, right? So already there's a bed in the story. That's already too many similarities for her.
Yeah, already she's thinking, well, if there's a bed involved, Dennis is already in very big trouble.
And the kid went diving under the bed to get his football. And there was a pencil under the bed that was pointing outward.
Oh, no. No, thanks.
So, Riley, you would assume that, he got the pencil stuck in his nose or in his eye or in his mouth. No. She had read that the pencil went through his chest, between his ribs and into his heart. And I was like, that is abject nonsense.
What did they sharpen that pencil with?
A laser cutter,
to shine stuff off the moon? What are you talking about?
Now, if this was one of my father's titanium assassination pencils, maybe. Now we're talking. But no, this was a rudimentary civilian-grade pencil.
Delivery for emetic poison.
For Novichok, yeah. No. This was a civilian level pencil. This is insane to me. And of course, my mom was just trying to say, hey, these games are making you jump on your friends and one of you is going to get hurt. In a vacuum, a very reasonable take. Mm. But because she presented this wild narrative, I just started picking that apart instead. Anyway, I remember that they took away all my wrestling video games. I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling. And I think that's actually some pragmatism on my parents' part, because they knew that watching Kratos tear Zeus's head off wasn't really attainable for me, but trying to give somebody a people's elbow and breaking their rib probably was on the cards.
Yeah. I think that shows a reasonably restrained level of like how video games or just media generally can influence kids. So yeah, I don't think you can come at your parents too hard for that. The pencil thing is a bit much. But
I share this with my mom where if she'll read something like that, even if it's fanciful, she won't be able to stop thinking about it. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter that it probably didn't happen. Mm. She'll be terrified then that if she didn't explicitly warn me against it, if it did happen, it'd be her fault. Do you know what I mean?
Megan's a bit like this as well. Yeah. Megan will read one thing, what happened to one person once, and she'll be like, it's terrible all the time. Can't go. You've got to be careful. It's happening everywhere.
Well, there's a great subreddit for that of just things that have happened called That Happened that I think she should probably check out.
Oh, yeah, all those things that definitely happened.
No, it's called That Happened. It's not called That Didn't Happen.
Yeah. Very good point.
No, my parents, so they were never against video games. I told you about the first time my first encounter with video games was finding my parents secretly playing Mario Brothers.
Oh, yeah, and being convinced that you came down one night because you heard them laughing and you were scarred for life, but not for the reason that you thought you were going
to be. No, I heard my parents like giggling away in the sitting room after I'd gone to bed when I was a child, and I was like, oh, no. Well, at the time, I wasn't like, oh, no. In retrospect, that story starts like you expect me to, yeah. No,
well,
I go in.
Oh, everyone's expecting you to get scarred, but not in the way that you did.
The betrayal, Riley. I walked in, they were playing a video game console I didn't know we had.
Yeah, which is just what you imagine. I mean, I think you've told that story in the podcast, and I think I've told my story as well that backs up right onto this very flush. Maybe I haven't told this story actually. Oliver and I, my brother and I, we used to share a bedroom when we were very young, mm-hmm. and we were so convinced that Mum and Dad did fun stuff once we'd got to bed, right? That we stole we're in the two bedroom house, and our sister Amelia was in a cot or a crib, she's a very, very small infant, in Mum and Dad's bedroom, right?
Right.
So she slept in the same bed, the bedroom as them. We stole her, like, what's it called?
I really hoped the sentence was going to end after her. And you just performed a minor kidnapping as a prank on your parents.
No, we stole Mill's baby monitor and installed it in the lounge room.
That's some real Home Alone level stuff. Oh my God.
Yeah, to listen to what Mum and Dad did, right?
Now who's getting scarred?
After we'd gone to bed. Well, that's what, I mean, you know, I was, 8 years old? So what was the worst that could happen in my mind?
How old was Oliver? He should have known better.
He was five.
Oh,
We laid there for a while and they just like talked a bit. I think Dad was reading and I don't know, Mum was knitting probably or something. And then we eventually fell asleep and I was like, oh, that was a bit of a bust. Nothing really happened there. I don't know what I thought they were going to do. Like eat a bunch of ice cream and party? I don't know. Like,
no, the kids are asleep. It's time for the cartoons and ice cream portion of our evening. Yeah. Like, is that
all the fun stuff we can't do when the kids are around?
Time to sit as close to the TV as humanly possible. Like,
we'd never do that. But I love my mum. I really do. Obviously. I mean, huge statement. Huge, huge revelation. I do love my mum a lot, even though she is a bit of a hippy-dippy weirdo. She's much better than she used to be. But having her be a fan of video games now, and also having her be a fan of bad, really awful... Like, I was playing Hades. I showed her Hades because she likes mythology and Greek gods and that sort of stuff. I'm like, oh, look, you know, here's Aphrodite. Zeus is going to give me lightning powers. And I pointed out to it. Now, Mum, do you notice that I ended this run and I've gone back and it didn't ask me for any extra money.
There was no point where I could input my credit card information.
I paid my $40 and Super Giant are happy with that, right? They're not saying, oh, well, if you want this item from the Well of Charon, you're going to have to pay an extra $5.50. Like, the game, I just own the game and now I can play it. And she wasn't impressed with that. She says she enjoys the games. And look, honestly, I don't want to now be the wet blanket that she was for me when I was sitting around playing Morrowind as a kid. So I'm just, you know, I guess. Do I'm you think? Have it, but it's. I just wanted to play a good game, man. I just want to play a good video. I need a boomer video game that I can get mum onto so I can get rid of Gardenscapes and Grand Harvest or whatever it is.
Do you think there's a chance that... So you made a career for a large portion of life out of video games, out of esports commentary and streaming, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you think... So your mom obviously doesn't know too much about that, I would imagine. She tried to tune in the odd time, but she doesn't really understand what Magic the Gathering is.
She doesn't understand what's going on, but she's still very supportive, and she knows that wasn't what I mean. Stream. She'd always have the stream on in the background for the extra viewers and the ad revenue and stuff, so yeah,
but
it was good.
Do you think she would come in and go, Riley, I've been playing Gardenscapes, and I get it. This is what you do at work. Now I understand.
That would be very tilting. That would be a very, very tilting thing for me to experience.
I want the timeline where your mom has like 6,000 viewers on Twitch where they're, all right, time to check in. Let's play some Gardenscapes again. Oh, we're getting the cat. Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah,
play
them. Let's go. Yeah. Oh, got rid of the frog. Oh, whatever. Anyway. Dennis, enough of that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for your favorite part of the show. It's time for my favorite part of the show, Dennis. It's time to talk about Manscaped, the best in men's grooming. It's available at manscaped.com. You can get their stuff there with a 20% discount, which is just an obnoxiously large amount of money.
Riley,
and
shipping. Do you hear that?
Oh, hang on 1 second. What is that?
That almost imperceptibly quiet sound is the sound of my Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. I've held it right up to the microphone, and it is as silky and smooth and quiet as the shave you get from it.
It is, yes. There are two things that are very smooth about Manscaped: the products themselves and the sound that they make, and also your nuts once you've used them as well. Or can I mention? Let's talk about other areas of the body. I've had to really change up my entire grooming schedule, like the way that I grew, like my personal hygiene regimen has changed immensely. I just use this on any part of my body that requires removal of hair. My face, back of my neck.
You need to be careful doing that.
More and more, my shoulders. I don't know why hair is growing there when it could be growing on the top of my head. I'd much prefer that. But this thing is great. I use it everywhere, man.
You should not use... You're not supposed to use the razor on your ghoulies and your face.
Why not?
You can use it for either or, but they recommend you buy an extra blade because they give yourself a staph infection.
Well, I'll just have to go to manscaped.com and use the coupon code HALTT to buy more blades.
Yeah, they say you can buy another blade and swap it out. And it's built so that you can swap. Because, I mean, look, truthfully, off the record, I think it might actually be fine to do that. But obviously, Manscaped have to say, hey, don't do this. It could give you an infection. Just a brief FYI. Official party line advice is not to do that.
Dennis pouring a huge bucket of cold water over this otherwise absolutely blistering ad we're doing.
Well, I'd rather not. We not have a blistering ad than you get blisters on your face as a result, dude.
Yeah, we get a blistering lawsuit from misrepresenting a product. Okay, so Dennis, you might be familiar with the compliment sandwich.
Right? I am. Good, bad, good. Yeah, yes.
Good, bad, good. So I'm going to give Manscaped a compliment open sandwich, right? Which is to say, it's going to be one of each because I couldn't. I've got two pressing items I need to get across here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I've been using this thing not every day, but a lot of days, right? Keep my face nice and smooth.
Yep.
I've only just had to charge it.
Yeah,
That's 2 weeks, right, of significant use, right? And I've only just had to charge it. I don't know what battery they got in there, but I tell you what, this battery goes and goes, right?
And it's got one of those nice little wireless charger dock thing, and it's USB, so you can keep it on your desk, proudly displayed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's where I keep it, front and center. It's a conversation piece on the mantelpiece. Anyway. I really don't want this podcast to turn into an update heavy podcast, but I do need to come back to the nose hair situation,
mm-hmm.
right? So last week we talked about the fact that the power of my nasal exhalation now, because I'd cleared the jungle-like morass of hair from inside my nostrils with the weed whacker, right? Mm-hmm. I was blowing kids away at school, right? Trees were falling over as I walked past if I was foolish enough to breathe out of my nose just because of the sheer volume of hair it removed. But Dennis, it has made me realize nose hair grows back.
Of course it does.
And it's not very comfortable when it does.
Little prickly boys.
I don't know what kind of racket Manscaped is working on here with big nose hair around the world. I'm convinced that nose hair now has just been invented to sell more Manscaped products to people because it is unbearable. Having half-grown nasal hair, it's awful.
Well, just trim it again.
Well, that's what I've had to do. I'm sticking the weed whacker up there twice daily just to get rid of the regrowth, mate. It's unbelievable.
That is, there is a, and a lot of people think, oh, hair grows back faster if you shave it. That's patently untrue, by the way.
It's not true. No, it's not true. Just because it doesn't have tape it in, so it feels spikier. It feels thicker.
Which is what you're dealing with now.
Not, yeah. And it's so, I mean, I'm used to prickly hair on my face. I'm used to prickly hair on my nuts. Prickly hair inside
broadly
your nose,
internal, yeah.
Anytime you touch your nose or blow it or sniff it or scratch it or pick it or anything, right? It hurts. It's uncomfortable. It's I'm getting a beard rash inside my nostrils.
Now, Riley, I used it about a week ago, and I have not had an issue. Lending credence to the fact that Riley has.
So it's a Riley problem. It's not a Manscaped problem. It's not a big nose hair problem. It's just a Riley problem.
It's a big Riley's nose hair problem. Yeah, but if you're listening to this and you feel empathetic, you feel like, God, that sounds like me. Manscaped.com, coupon code HALTT. Get your hands on a weed whacker. Get your hands on some nice formulations. The formulations are really good. I would recommend this.
I mean, we got the performance package 4.0, right? You get all sorts of stuff. You get boxes. You get a bunch of free gifts, a little grooming kit. You get the ball toner, the ball deodorant, or foot deodorant, is it? I don't know. Put it anywhere, mate.
Stop putting the things in the box you're buying.
Put in your salad. It tastes great. I mean, if it tastes like it smells,
definitely don't eat it. Manscaped.com coupon code HALT. Please don't eat anything that arrives in the package.
Don't eat anything that comes in there. Although, I'll tell you what, the leather on that.
Dear HALT, I swallowed a ceramic blade and 911 isn't answering. What do I do? Oh,
that leather does look particularly succulent on me.
Okay,
on the band
Riley.
That comes
in. This week.
Go on.
I want to talk to you about the cost of convenience.
The cost of convenience. Yeah.
Now that I said it out loud, it sounds like a New York Times piece. That's not what I'm really going for here.
It's a side project. The Kings of Convenience. It's their spin-off. The cost of convenience.
Is that a band?
It is. They're very good. I really like the Kings of Convenience, but my friend Andrew Woodgate described them as dinner party music for cool 35-year-olds, and don't remind me, mate. It's very difficult to listen to their music through any other lens now.
Brief aside, actually, now that you mentioned that, Riley.
Okay. Well, we haven't even started, so it's not an aside. It's just a beer.
It's just a bar, It's not even a sidebar. I got an email, and Riley, we missed it. It could have been so good.
Go on.
And for pre-sale tickets, do you know who's playing on Friday, the 23rd of June next year in Glasgow, in Bella Houston Park?
If only I'd stayed in Glasgow for another 2.5 years, we could have gone to this concert. Who is it?
Muse, man.
Oh, okay. Well, Dan, I am just kicking myself.
And Megan will want to come home anyway. So I'll get the tickets now.
When is it? It's June next year.
Yeah.
Decent chance I'm actually in Europe for that. Megan and I are planning to come back to Europe next year for an extended holiday. So it's not 0% we got to Muse.
Do you like Royal Blood? Royal Blood are supporting.
Never heard of Royal Blood, but I'll give
it a listen. They sound like Muse. Spoiler alert.
Great. Excellent. Perfect. Just my type of music.
So,
anyway, I want to talk about convenience. Go. Yeah. Go.
I have a fond memory. Well, I have a memory. a bittersweet memory. When I was a child, going to a video store here, which we had
like
called
Blockbuster or something.
It was an Extravision. We had Extravision and we had Chartbusters, which was legally distinct from Blockbusters, I suppose.
Chartbuster.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's the same company. I think it was just a trading name.
Oh, so this is like when the Saboteurs tried to tour through Australia, the band.
Yeah.
And there was already a band called the Saboteurs in Australia, so they had to change the name to the Raconteurs when they were in Australia. That's it. Right?
But the Raconteurs is Jack White's band.
Well, they had to change the name to something else. I don't know what it was. But anyway,
sure.
So there's obviously a two-bit shop somewhere in Ireland called Blockbuster. So they had to call themselves, what was it?
Chartbusters.
Chartbusters.
Righty, sorry, I really hate to keep coming back to this, but I've just seen the poster for that Muse World Tour again, and it's this very special guests, Royal Blood, and then under that, in tiny parentheses, except Glasgow. I don't know why Royal Blood refused to go to Glasgow, but they ain't coming.
They're just a wise group of people, clearly. They know their limits. Anyway, you're gone. So you've gone to Rockbusters, yep.
We've gone to Block Charts. And there was something very, very special and very exciting about going as a kid and one of your parents going, all right, pick out a movie. Or very occasionally pick out a video game, but really pick out a movie.
Yeah.
And I remember that was my first encounter. I was sitting there with my dad with real, and something I struggled with my whole life is decision paralysis. If I opportunity cost and like the FOMO and the worry about like picking the wrong movie, it's going to ruin the next 3 years of my life. And if only I had picked Muppet Treasure Island, I would have known what happened.
Dennis, I wouldn't recommend that. It's a terrifying film, but yeah, go on.
Is it? Why is it? I've never seen it.
We talked. You've forgotten about. You deleted every single episode from your podcast.
I remember we talked about Treasure Island. I remember we talked about. Why is it scary though? I don't know why it's scary.
Did you not forget? I had to leave when I was 6 years old. I saw it and I had to leave because I was so terrified when I got the black spot. I left.
Oh, that's right, the black spot. Yeah.
It was too scary.
I remember.
Yeah, here we go.
I could. So I that was a fond memory that I. And I remember the smell of the extras. They had a little popcorn machine up on the desk, and that whole thing of like going to a shop, picking up the DVD cases. Looking at the backs, thinking about which movie you wanted, debating with your dad about which one to pick or whatever, choosing one, and that was the one you were going to watch, and you got home and you made your bowl of popcorn, you watched it. That sort of ritual, that sort of ceremony is completely gone now. And you might say... Go ahead.
It's not just with films either, right?
It's with a lot of things, yeah.
I was thinking about this with... Because obviously when Mum was up here, we were taking photos and stuff, and I was thinking, it's so funny how if we go back to when I was a kid... We don't have 15 of the same photo of Mum and me standing outside the front of because Megan is just she's like a machine gunner.
Oh, Riley, I have II, right? From when we went to Scoop, I think it was Scoop in Glasgow. I have maybe 40 photos of that Megan asked me to take of her eating an ice cream on my phone now. Yes.
Yeah, if you say, "Oh, Megan, can you take a photo of this?" You'll get 40 or 60.
She wanted me to send it to her. I had to make a Google Drive folder. There were so many.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So anyway. There would be one photo. It would be an analog photo on a film, and you'd go to the chemist and get it developed, and you get it back 3 to 5 business days later, and that would be the photo of you and Mum at the Umundi Markets. Right.
Well, that's what Nikki and I have done because Nikki and I have a Polaroid camera, and the one rule for the Polaroid is no retakes.
No retakes,
and
which is not a rule in photography anymore.
No,
and I'm not saying this. Look, I'm not being a kid. You know, kids these days get off my lawn, that sort of stuff. Like, it's very good that you can take photos over and over and over until you get the perfect shot. But it does, you definitely lose something. Whether that something is worth having, it probably is worth losing based on the advances we've made with technology.
Right,
you
right.
You definitely give up something.
But something that you give up here, so you give up the whole, like when you leave the Extravision, you're committed to watching that movie, right?
Oh, it doesn't matter how bad it is, you have to finish it.
You pay for it, here it is. You have to finish it. Yeah. You're not going to drive back and pick out another one.
No.
So I think the counter argument there is you would assume that, oh, well, because you didn't have to go to a shop and look at all this stuff, you've saved all this time that because you go on Netflix, you grab your movie and you're off, it's streaming, you're done.
I'm sorry, I'll stop you there. What universe do you
That's what I was going to say. That's not the case, is it?
It's not the case at all. Netflix and chill for me is very much Netflix and get exceptionally cranky about how long it's taking to pick a damn movie. That's not Netflix and chill, man. That's Netflix and get very annoyed.
I've been with you and Megan when we were trying to pick a movie to watch. I ended up watching that Middle Edition Schwartz live improv show. It was very difficult.
I had this experience literally on Monday when Mum was here, right? Because the three of us sat down to watch a film. And we went through and we tried, we started about three, right? And the three of us just couldn't. And because it wasn't, we didn't have to commit to any of them because we could go and like,
you could watch 5 minutes and dip back out, yeah.
And like, this sucks, right? So we ended up going through and I got so annoyed because it was just like, don't try this. Oh, this one doesn't, I don't like this one. And it's just, I got so cranky. And look, I'm not saying it's better. Right, because I remember when I was a kid, we went to Blockbuster and we got a film called The Crack, right? Like what Irish people say, the Crake,
yeah,
however it's pronounced, with the famous Irish comedian Jim Owen. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Jim Owen or Jim Owen?
Jim Owen, J-I-M-O-I-N. Jim Owen.
Oh, yeah. Jim Owen, his two Irish actors, Jim Owen McKeown and Alan McKee, enter Australia illegally when they flee an IRA leader in Belfast after confrontation. This movie appears to have only been released in Australia, despite being clearly very Irish.
Jim Owen is like an Australian-based comedian, right? Irish comedian. And it was very bad, but I sat there and I remember like forcing myself to laugh at some of the scenes where it was supposed to be funny because I'm like, no, I'm going to get my $2.50 out of this 7-day rental or however much it cost. I can't remember. I'm going to enjoy this film. And it sucked and I hated it and I shouldn't have done it. But like,
Riley, Colin Hay from Men at Work is in this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, you know,
must have been after the lawsuit, the Kookaburra sits in the old Gumtree lawsuit. Anyway, go on.
You know how you know it's a rough, because it came out in 1999, a rough late 90s bad comedy is the runtime. a gentleman's 88 minutes.
Oh, couldn't even get to the hour and a half mark.
Yep. Tight. Yep.
Oh, crisp. It's crisp. It's very tightly paced. Exactly. No, but this is what I'm saying. Like, I think there is the danger of looking back on this, on these, and reminiscing, oh, wasn't it wonderful doing it? But then, no, because sometimes you just got absolute stinkers. You took them home. And like, same with video games. If you bought a video game when you were young, or you played a video game, or you rented or whatever else, you finished it and you played every inch of it.
Oh, and you're pouring 200 hours into it, even if it is. And a game I remember playing very fondly, it was like Toy Story kart racing.
Yeah. But now on Game Pass, you play it for 15 minutes. Like, oh, this sucks. I'm not going to play it again, right?
Or well,
you
bought, I mean, there's no
$7, so it doesn't matter.
That's what I was about to say. There's no better indicator than the hundreds of unplayed Steam games you have. Or anyone has. I don't mean you. One has. Sometimes, like, I want to play a video game. I go on Steam, I click on my library. There's all these games I've never played that ostensibly Dennis, at some point in the past, thought it was worth getting his credit card at, like clearing the cat off your cards in Harvest Solitaire or whatever. And now I'm like, I think I'd rather just sit and stare at this library for 5 minutes, get annoyed, and go do something else. What's going on?
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think it's all good, and I don't think it's all bad. I think there are, because I definitely don't want to turn into a kids get off my lawn curmudgeon like last week. I want to delete last week's episode. I came across as such an asshole.
I love the idea that if you have kids, you're going to be like, get inside, get inside and sit down and play Crash Bandicoot 3. I know it's very hard, but I want you to finish this motorbike level until you get the relic.
Suffering builds character, kids, all right? And we're going to sit here and we're going to play Knights of the Old Republic. I know I know the controls are very bad. I know it's very dated, but the story, once you get in there, just you wait till Dad, please, just want to go outside and kick the footy. No, get back inside. Sit on the couch. Shut the window.
No, you don't understand. So I know Uriel Septim's dead, but Martin's actually his son, you see.
Yeah.
And he's voiced by Sean Bean. Who's that? Doesn't matter. We'll get to Civilization 7 in a bit and he'll be there. Don't worry. That's on the syllabus.
Oh, jeez. Oh, our poor children. I don't know, though. You raise an interesting topic because, like, is it better? I don't think it's better or worse.
Just different, right? There's something nice about doing things. And it's almost in like a mindfulness meditative kind of way. And I'm really making sound and going to a goddamn excursion very hoity-toity. But there's something nice about doing something deliberately as opposed to doing many things mindlessly, which I think is the trade-off we've made. And this we talked a little bit about when we were talking about like Fahrenheit 451 and attention spans. And, you know, as much as people would say playing Medal of Honor back in the day would fry your brain, I think really going on TikTok and Instagram Reels does actually fry your brain because... Mm. The next video that is but a swipe away could be the thing that makes you go, ha-ha, and could make you think, no, not even ha-ha, let's be realistic, makes you exhale out your nose a little bit.
Yeah,
and that's, or in your case, and like shatter a wall.
All right, mate, yeah.
Get into those little piggies.
Blows my phone through the wall.
And the fact that it's always like N plus one scrolls away is damaging for your perception of like reward and...
Mm.
And I do like to think there's something sort of poetic and like we were talking about how the grand suffering of going into a store, picking the crack with Jamo and getting home and sticking it on and going, ooh, I am trapped here for at least a svelte 88 minutes, but still.
Yeah. Oh, I've got another 87 and a half minutes to go of this terrible film. Exactly, yeah. Can I tell you, I remember the very, very last time I rented a movie from a Blockbuster.
Ooh, go ahead.
And it was Slumdog Millionaire, right?
Good movie.
So I met a girl. And,
Danny Boyle movie, I think it is.
It's about the kid who's on the game show and he like his life just happened to have all the answers to all the questions he's given. It's a great film, right? Anyway, I met this girl. We'd hung out and then we were like, oh, why don't you come around to my place? We'll have dinner. We'll watch a movie. And so we went to Blockbuster together, right? Picked this film, went back, and I loved it. I thought it was a great film and I remember watching it, but she hated it and was so bored. She had the opposite experience. She was like, this is really boring. I don't want to watch it. I didn't even want to finish it. But because like we didn't know each other very well, she couldn't just be like, can you turn this off? This sucks. Right? Like, I've been with Megan for 5 years. So if Megan starts watching a film like this is boring, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go and I'm going to play Civ. I'm going to play Hades, right? You enjoy it like that. But the very last time I ever rented a film was, for this date with the girl where we both had vastly different experiences. I didn't mind being pot committed to watch the film because obviously we'd rented it. Whereas I think if she'd had her way, you know, decision paralysis and sunk cost fallacy be damned, I think it would have been straight back in the container, straight back to Blockbuster.
I'm trying to think about, I remember a friend of mine rented Metal Gear Solid, but they only gave him part one. So he got to the halfway through the game and was like, please insert disc 2. And he was like, what do you mean disc 2?
And he had to go back to blockchain. What is it? The blockchainer?
It was the blockchain. Dude. Yeah, it was really ahead of its time.
He had to go and mine the second half off the blockchain. Okay. So was that a deliberate choice on the part of Extra Busters or whatever it is?
I think it was a mistake, I would assume. But
because what a rort that is.
If that was intentional, that might be the first, you know, pay to win microtransaction you've seen in video games.
Yeah, that's the first, that predates even Horse Armor, right? That's where it all began at the Extra Vision in Dublin.
Do you remember Horse Armor?
Hmm?
Do you remember when Horse Armor came out?
I remember when Horse Armor came out. Yeah, I remember it being it was apocalyptic.
It was Oblivion. Yeah, you could pay I think $5 or $6 or whatever. It's cosmetic only. Now, at the time, the idea of like cosmetic only upgrades.
I'm going to stop you there. I'm just going to head to uesp.net, an old internet. Well,
does it give you actual stats?
I'm pretty sure it gave you extra stats. Just talk amongst yourselves. Well,
I'm looking it up now.
I mean, you talk to them. I'm going to look it up. Well, I'm going to get there first. I'm already on it. So you get it, and you get a little quest, and then you receive a free horse. You get it. Oh, it's a variant.
It costs 500 gold. You still have to pay for the armor?
No, you could get a free one. You could get the armored old nag from Snack Grabura at the Chestnut Handy Stables. But it
even with armor, the nag is the weakest horse in the game.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I think it definitely changes their stats. Yeah, no, it definitely changes their stats.
It doubles their health, it looks like.
Yeah, so it's a bit. So Dennis, it's the worst kind of thing. It's pay to win.
I originally thought it was cosmetic only, which would be so wild. Because it's cosmetic only in a single player game.
Yeah, well, not that matters. There's all sorts of single player games that have cosmetic only DLC. Are they not?
No, there's ones that have like pre-order bonuses, which I think is okay. And like collector's edition bonuses. I can't think of games that have cosmetics for single player games.
I'm pretty sure, dude. I'm just going to jump onto Steam right now. The first one that comes to mind is Far Cry. I'm pretty sure with Far Cry you can buy like, Planet Zoo? That's game. You get gameplay and stuff. Yeah, Far Cry 5. I'm pretty sure that has like cosmetic deal. Maybe their quests and stuff though with them as well. Okay. No, maybe there's additional stories, content, and gear. Okay.
So hang on. Here's a question. This one maybe you can ask your mum and report back next week.
1.6 hours played in Far Cry 5. Gave that one up after the first boss. Go on.
In Harvest Solitaire. So you can obviously buy extra wild cards and stuff. You can the pig will steal your coins and extort you to get them back like a mob racket.
The pig was the worst one.
Can you pay money to have the pig be a zebra instead, or a different kind of pig, or Pumbaa from The Lion King?
No, I don't think there are the whole building your garden town thing, that's all cosmetic, obviously, and you can farm pay towards that. But no. The Grand Harvest also has like a little thing you build out of, you get hats. That's the in-game currency that builds your town is hats
for some reason. What? Is this a Valve game?
I don't know, Dennis. At one point I exchanged 500 hats for an igloo that went on the ice-themed part of Mum's little village she was building, and I just went, okay, great. That's. I'm just glad we're bonding over a video game finally. It's taken me to my mid-30s,
For Christmas, are you going to get your mum a bunch of hats? In-game currency?
For Christmas, I guess I could just give her a bunch of vouchers for Grand Harvest
Google Solitaire Play Store or whatever. Yeah,
she'd love that. Anyway,
would she actually? Has she spent money on it?
No. Well, this is the thing. So this is what I didn't cover. I'm sorry. We're back to my topic now. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
No, she hasn't, because she did on a former game, and she realized once you break that seal, right? This is years ago. She was playing some other game. I can't remember what it was. She spent about $80. In like a week, and then she was like, okay, that's how they get you. So she deleted that game, downloaded
the delta between 1 and 80 is much smaller than the delta between 0 and 1.
Yeah, exactly. Once they've got your credit card details, it's very easy to just go, I'll just get one more power up like that. And so no, she's very sensible with it.
That's good, at least.
But well, she made a huge blunder by telling me that she spent that money on the first one, because I've never let her
that forget. Must have been a hell of a conversation. Yeah.
I've never let her forget that one. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Have a Listen to This. We do hope you've enjoyed the episode. And hey, if you haven't, doesn't matter. The download numbers show up all the same. So whatever, suckers. But if you did enjoy this show, please tell your friends about it. And look, tell people that aren't your friends, tell acquaintances and even your enemies, again, that download show up all the same. And if you want to support the show, if you really like the show this much, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/haveAListenToThis. You get access to behind-the-scenes stuff, early access to episodes, all sorts of things. We are definitely in this for the money, not for the love of the game or anything like that. So head over to Patreon and help us get them rookie numbers up.